Hey guys, Matt O'Dell here.
And this is Gary Leland, and you're listening to episode 98 of the Crypto Cousins Podcast.
Feed your interest in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies by joining Hall of Fame podcaster Gary Leland on the Crypto Cousins Podcast. And remember, we are all cousins in the world of crypto. This week's price of Bitcoin.
$7,769. That's down $191 or 2.5% over the last 7 days.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Matt, welcome to the show.
Very happy to be here, Gary.
You know, Matt, we've never met and talked in person, but you have tried to help me so much with my Lightning node that I feel like we have a relationship going here, that we kind of know each other here. I had a hell of a time with trying to get that node going.
I loved it. I loved it over here as well.
Speaking of nodes and you helping me, I want to talk about nodes. That's some of the stuff I want to get into here. But before I do that, when we get back to the basics, how did you get into BTC or Bitcoin? How did you find out about it? Tell us your background story, I guess, or your discovery story.
I was in college. I had one friend tell me about it in like 2012. I thought it could never work. And then I had a second friend tell me about it like 6 months after that, 7 months after that. And I was like, okay, maybe something's here because these two people are completely different people. And then I basically just started trying to figure out how to break it. I was like, I don't think this could work. So let me actually start learning about it and see, confirm that it can't work. And basically I just kept proving the opposite to myself. And I was like, I better buy some. And then 2013 just really screwed me in terms of, I was just down a lot of money in 2013.
In 2019, we're all crying about that big
It was pretty bad. I was young. I was just out of school. You know, I didn't have that much savings. And I was just putting like a bunch of money in Bitcoin. And I was losing. And I said to myself, like, I have to know everything about this because I have such an investment in it. I just haven't turned back since.
So did you hodl or did you sell when you had your big financial crisis back in 2013?
Oh, no, I just dug in. I'm not sure if you're aware of the stacking sats meme.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in a few minutes. I have some questions about that, but let's wait until we get to that. So now your big giant loss is doing pretty good there.
I mean, I did more than hold on. Like I was like trying to catch the falling knife like the whole way down. You know, like I was dollar cost averaging in, and every time there'd be like a false head fake, like I think we were going to the moon. You know, that's where I learned a lot of about myself and about Bitcoin was during that phase while everything was. And at that time, you know, a lot of people were saying it was going to zero. It wasn't like this time. It was, I mean, when we were at like 150, 180, dropping to 150 and then back up, like that was, people were freaking.
Right. Well, people were freaking definitely when it went from 19 to three. And I got in way before it hit 19. I mean, you know, I got in early 2017 or middle 2017. So I never was at a loss. But you learn a lot when you see your funds go from that high of a value down to, which is the same experience you're talking about. When it went from 17 to 32, that's quite a drop, or 19 to 32. A lot of people have experienced this, and you're right. That's the greatest time, a great time to buy like you did. I did the same thing when it started getting down to three. I started buying more. Now I was hearing a little bit from my wife, but now she's kind of excited that I did because she's believing that we could be going back to the bull market too. Speaking of a term you said a few minutes ago, stacking sats, where'd that term come from?
In the 2017 run, I was trying to get people to stop focusing on trading these like illiquid shit coins, stop trying to leverage trade on the market, short-term buys. And I was trying to get people to, you know, dollar cost average, just very simple dollar cost average. And it just wasn't sexy. No one wanted to dollar cost average. It was too simple. And then you mix that in with the unit bias we saw in 2017, where you had things like Ripple getting pumped. Oh, if Ripple hits $5, if Ripple hits $6, it became pretty obvious really quickly that like unit bias was a thing as well. So stacking sats was born as both dollar cost averaging and a way to basically fight fire with fire, you know, with the unit bias. Like no one wants to buy a fraction of a Bitcoin.
Oh, I agree. A lot of people don't even know how to use fractions, Matt. I mean, I ask like part-time help all the time what a third of 100 is. Now, that's my question I ask, because if they're going to be counting money, I want them to know how to do simple math. And they're going to be working my cash register. And 90% of the kids in high school can't tell you what a third of 100 is. So I figure that most people can't do fractions at all. And so when you tell someone 0.002 of a Bitcoin, they don't even know what you're talking about.
Right, exactly. And no one wants to buy 0.002 of something. It just doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, it's not sexy. You're not, how do you price it? People have never seen anything priced in a store. Oh, you want that shirt? It's 0.005 or 0.5 or 0.5 of a dollar. Most of them, I'm telling you, if you told them it was 0.33 of a dollar, most of them would ask you how much it was.
Right, exactly. Exactly my thought.
Did you come up with stacking sats, the term?
I'm sure someone has said it before me, but you know, I was the first person to use the hashtag on Twitter.
Okay, so on this run of it, this is your because someone told me that the other day, and I said, well, the first place I heard it was Matt and Marty, you know, on Rabbit Hole Recap. I can't remember who I heard say it first. I just knew I heard it there. So someone told me that, and I said, I would think that's probably right.
The first stacking sets tweet ever was I was talking shit about Ripple. I was trying to say that, you know, Ripple's expensive and sats are cheap.
Okay, that was the situation.
Yeah, and then it just blossomed from there. I just kept pushing it. People liked it a lot. It caught on really quickly.
You have stacking sats. Y'all do that stacking sats Saturday, I think, right?
Yeah, that was a listener thing. At first, I didn't really love it because people would post a screenshot of their purchase, which isn't great OPSEC, you know, in terms of privacy and whatnot and security. But listeners started it and it caught on, and it's people like the social signal. It makes it more viral.
Well, if someone buys a whole Bitcoin, I mean, they got a lot of sats. So doesn't that kind of obscure or kind of like minimize the person who bought $25 worth and they're stacking $25 worth of sats? And you go, hey, look at all these sats. And all of a sudden, this guy's got a billion sats.
Yeah, right. So there's 100 million sats in a Bitcoin. So I feel like if you keep it in proper taste and it's like a $25 purchase or something, it's like 300,000 sats. You know, I mean, it's not ideal, but it's viral. It really clicks in people's heads when they see it. And it shows that there's real people that, you know, are buying this thing.
Well, I think it's great. I've been saying almost since I got in Bitcoin that this Bitcoin needed to get to the sats level, that when people start selling and buying in sats, that it would take off, because like I said, my whole philosophy on the fact that nobody even knows what a third of 100 is. I mean, I'm sure all of our audience does. But the average Joe on the street, I'm telling you, if you went to 7-Eleven, you stood there and you asked 100 people what a third of 100 was, the number one answer you would hear is math wasn't my best subject. That's what they always say. The whole decimal place in Bitcoin, I think, was kind of detrimental to everyday use and people enjoying it. When people are buying sats, I'm not even sure what I'm asking here or if I'm asking this correctly. When I buy sats, I just buy some Bitcoin. Is there someplace you can buy like sats? I mean, like, and receive it in sats? I mean, like, I could buy $25 worth of and I'd get it. I don't know if I understand that.
If you're buying Bitcoin, you're receiving sats. You're just, your wallet's not saying it in sats.
So people were just buying it in Bitcoin. I know this was a stupid question. I knew it before I asked it. So people are just buying $25 worth of Bitcoin, for an example, and then converting it in their mind to sats and then posting that.
The meme I've combined with a lot of products that I think are useful for Bitcoiners for stacking sats: Honeyminer, Lolly, Cash App, GetBitter in Europe. Out of those four, there's only Honeyminer. Honeyminer actually displays it in sats. So like your balance is in sats from the beginning. It's the default.
Well, I guess that was my question. Is there a way you see it?
Yeah, you know.
Sats. I guess that's really what I was trying to ask.
I think we're close. You know, there needs to be a little education. The companies need a little bit of push. You know, I've been trying to, the team at Lolly knows I want them to put sats there at least as an option. The team at Cash App knows I want them to put sats there as an option. And I think that makes a lot of sense. I think the one thing that's interesting is, there's been some pushback on using sats as a unit because it's Satoshis. I actually prefer sats over Satoshis. Like, I think that the nomenclature will be I don't think people will be saying Satoshis.
Right.
But if they want to, they can. You know, this is Bitcoin. You can use whatever unit you want. I just think sats are clean. And I guess the other thing is Lightning Network is all denominated in sats. Pretty much every Lightning app, the default is sats.
You know, I listened to you maybe a week ago talking about OpenNode. So I went and set up an account at OpenNode. And Saturday, I spent the day adding OpenNode so people could buy with Bitcoin. It says on there by default, purchase with Bitcoin or Lightning. So I put it on my sites. I think actually I have the most e-commerce sites that any one person has using OpenNode and accepting Bitcoin. I have like 19 e-commerce websites now that I set up Saturday.
Awesome.
I know that's not a lot of websites, but for one person, I think that's a lot of websites accepting Bitcoin.
OpenNode was pretty easy, huh?
It's real easy. I was using another service before that actually worked fine, and I could use any crypto I wanted. It accepted all cryptos, but I only accepted Bitcoin anyway. And it only paid me, it would send me an email saying you made a sale, but I wouldn't get my Bitcoin until the next day. Where I set this up Saturday, I had an order yesterday. Someone purchased a ticket to BitBlock Boom with Bitcoin. And there was my Bitcoin. I transferred it over to my wallet. I was in more control of it. I could do what I wanted to with it. You know me, from talking to me, I'm not the most techie person in the world. I can muddle my way through it, but I had no problems with OpenNode. I mean, that was like so easy, whoever set that up. I put it on my store. It was easy. It took minutes per store to set up. So that's a great thing. And I felt like I controlled my Bitcoin better. I'm not waiting for some third party to send it to me.
With OpenNode, you can withdraw with Lightning, I think with no fee, anytime you want, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So I really enjoyed that a lot. So I appreciate you guys talking about that for sure. You know, I do have a question though. I'm trying to learn more about Lightning, and I was trying to use a Zap wallet the other day. You're familiar with that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love Zap.
And it tells me to put in my Lightning address, I guess. So I'm trying to sync it with my node here. I can't figure out how to do that to save my life. I mean, there's a code in there, the USB code, whatever that is.
The URI?
Yeah, yeah. I can't get it to sync with that. I can't get it to work at all. So,
are you talking about mobile Zap?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with how that sync process works yet.
Yeah, I can't get that to sync at all. So if there's anyone out there who knows, send me a message.
I mean, it involves scanning a QR code, right?
You scan right, but I scan the QR code and it doesn't work.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure then.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's where I'm kind of confused. I'm going, this should be pretty easy. I scan a QR code and bam, it's done.
Zap Mobile is iPhone only. It's probably the first Bitcoin app that I've wanted as an Android user that I couldn't have because it was iPhone only.
Oh, okay. And I have an iPhone, so that's it. Hey, are you going to, I know you're going, I don't know why I'm asking this question. You're going to San Francisco for Bitcoin 2019, right?
Indeed. We're going to like close up the conference on the roof bar. It's going to be great.
At the Virgin?
Is that where they're holding it?
Well, there's a roof bar at the Virgin Hotel, and that's the hotel of the conference.
No, we're holding it at, so they're putting a whole beer garden on the roof of the conference venue.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
And we're going to be hosting a special rabbit hole recap up there.
Well, that's pretty cool. So when are y'all arriving out there?
I'm not sure yet. Marty's going to be there a little bit early.
So you don't know if you're going to the carnivore dinner Monday night.
What, is that the beefsteak one?
Yeah.
Yes, I'll be there.
Okay.
Well, I'll definitely be at that.
Yeah, I'll be there also. So
awesome. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, we'll get to meet in person. And also, while we're talking about conferences, before we go on with that any further, you'll also be doing a rabbit hole recap at my conference, BitBlock Boom.
Hell yes. I'm very excited.
I'm very excited about that. That's really, we're doing so much way ahead of schedule from last year. But for anyone who's listening, if you haven't listened before by some chance, check out my conference, BitBlock Boom in Dallas, Texas. It is a Bitcoin conference. It's not an altcoin conference. It's not a blockchain conference. It's a Bitcoin conference. It's our second year in Dallas, scheduled for August 17th and 18th. And we have a ton of great speakers. And if you use the code RHR for Rabbit Hole Recap, you'll get a 30% off the price of your ticket. So go check that out at bitblockboom.com. We have a lot of people at BitBlockBoom that are just great speakers, but a lot of them, I'm looking forward to coming to Bitcoin 2019 because almost everybody at my conference is there.
Marty went last year. I heard great things. I heard it was an absolutely awesome conference. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, we had a good turnout. I think everybody who pretty much spoke last year wanted to speak this year. And I couldn't have everybody back. It'd be the same conference. It wouldn't be very appealing to anyone. Governor goes, I really want to speak again. I'm going, gosh, I can't have the same exact lineup. You know, I mean, that just wouldn't be very good. I mean, you know, so, but it was nice that everybody wanted to come. So, you know, everybody who spoke last year, you know, I gave a pass to, you know, and invited to the breakfast. And you know about the brunch, right? You guys are invited to the brunch. I mean, that's a part of your deal package that you get for coming. So make sure you stay Sunday because that was the best part, was the brunch.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, that was really good. So how did you get to know Marty?
He seduced me into coming onto his podcast on Twitter.
Oh, okay. So y'all kind of met. Where are you in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York. I was very quiet about being in New York for a long time. I never spoke on air until maybe 14 months ago, 15 months ago, for privacy reasons. And so then Marty had me on his podcast. We really hit it off. I had a great time. We became friends. And then he approached me and was like, I think it'd be good if I would really like to do like a weekly news show with you. And I said, fuck yes, let's do it. And the rest is history.
Well, y'all make a good show together. I listen to a lot of crypto podcasts. I mean, I'm pretty heavy in this space as far as trying to create content and listening to content. I know a lot of people who are in our space creating podcasts, don't listen to any podcasts. And that's cool. But I just do. And out of all the ones I listen to, I have to say, I feel like I actually learn the most off your podcasts. I mean, you guys really get into, there's a lot of stuff I'm interested in learning about. Let me rephrase that. There may be other podcasts that actually teach more, but y'all talk about things I'm actually interested in. And it's not just BS kind of stuff that a lot of people do. And it's not stuff on shit coins that I'm not interested in.
Yeah, there's so much noise, man. You just gotta filter through it. Yeah, I mean, that's what I thank you very much. I love hearing that. That's exactly why we do it. I am also very much a podcast addict, which is, you know, why it was like, I think it was a natural fit for me. I mean, I listen to so many, especially Bitcoin related podcasts.
I told you in the pre-show, I've been podcasting since 2004, and I have never seen as crowded of a space as there is for podcasts, as there is in the world of crypto. There must be 1,000 podcasts about crypto if you go through the list. I mean, to the end, there is just a huge, and many of them are dead because the price of Bitcoin dropped. You know, and now some of those are starting to come back and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I've been gone for a while. I was busy doing this. I thought I'd start the show back up instead of going, oh, now it's profitable to create content that I can, you know, try to get money from people for taking my lessons again. I find a lot of that. That's on YouTube and on podcasts, though.
If someone's claiming to be like the most amazing trader and they're charging you $10 a class, like maybe they're not as wealthy as they pretend to be.
That's what I've always said. If you're doing so good, why are you wasting your time trying to sell these classes? You could make a heck of a lot more money in trading if you're that good at it. You must have a ton of Bitcoin or money that you're working with. You don't even have time to make these classes because you don't want to miss out on something. So I have another question here. From what I understand on your show, someone stole your node, your Lightning node?
During Blockchain Week in New York. They have a Blockchain Week, right, when consensus happens. They had Magical Crypto Conference this year.
I came so close to going and I just couldn't make it work. I wish I had to.
This year it was more Bitcoin week than it's ever been in the past. So that was awesome. But anyway, during that time, there was a US government agency, I forget which one, said something about money transmitter laws. They released that whole thing on money transmitter laws. And there was tons of Lightning FUD on Twitter, right? That Lightning node operators could be money transmitter businesses. So what we did at that point was we had a bunch of friends and fans of the show in New York at that time. So we passed off the node to a non-American who is running it through Tor. The point there is the whole reason Bitcoin was kept nimble and efficient is so that we can run it through networks like Tor. And everyone should be running their Lightning node through Tor. And if you run it through Tor, it doesn't matter what governments say is legal or not legal, because there's no way to tell who's doing it. And it's super, it'll be super difficult to enforce.
And so what did that have to do with the node being stolen?
Oh, well, we thought it'd be funny if we said it was stolen instead. It's like,
Oh, I didn't know that was a joke.
Yeah, I know. That's why I have to clarify later. It's like,
I thought you had like a party at your place or something. You know, that's what I was seeing, is that you were like doing something at your place and someone walked in the back room, stuck it in their pocket and left.
You know, we have the Bitcoin meme, right? I guess it's really a gold meme kind of first, that you're in a boating accident, right? But you can't get into a boating accident with your node and still have it be online. Like, that's impossible.
Well, see, I didn't hear probably those episodes. All I heard was one day someone had stolen your node and you had emailed them. And they were like really nice about it, but you didn't. And that's, so I just caught glimpses of it. So I actually thought, like I said, I thought someone went in your back room, stole your node, put it in their pocket, because you could put it in your pocket, or mine, you could put it in your pocket, and they just walked out the door with it one day, and they hooked it back up, and were running your node somewhere else, so, you know, and had hacked in somehow.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the only one. You're not the only one, which is why I had to clarify afterwards.
Well, I think that's really funny.
The point is that you can't, you know, of course governments can ban Lightning nodes. If, you know, good luck enforcing it. They could ban Bitcoin too. They could ban Ripple. They could ban whatever they want to ban. The key here is that if you want these systems to hold trillions of dollars, like, bans can't be enforceable. Otherwise, the whole system will fail.
Correct. I guess I probably haven't been promoting my nodes strong enough. I don't have hardly any connections, which is fine. I don't spend any time on it. But if anyone's listening, find CryptoCousins.com node. And I'll open a channel back if you open one to me. But I haven't been spending any time with that. I think I got so bummed out it took so long time to get set up for me.
Yeah, I mean, the Casa node's a little bit underpowered. So it just adds a little bit more complexity to everything else because you second guess yourself.
But you know, once I switched it over to Tor, that was the secret. You know, if anyone's got a Casa node, you're having trouble, try using the Tor. Once I did that.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, I know they upgraded it too with the Tor upgrade. So maybe the software.
I think when I got mine was during the upgrade because somebody was telling me to do stuff, you know, in customer service. And I was emailing them back screenshots to say, these things you're saying to do, they're not here as an option. And then someone else emailed back going, oh yeah, we switched to Tor. Those aren't there anymore. I'm spending all this time trying to find something that doesn't exist. And that guy said, you know, told me about Tor, bam, you know, it worked perfect. So
everyone should be running through Tor anyway. It's still very much early days. We're at the edge here. But I mean, I think once you start playing around with it, you see where it's going. You see it's there. Have you used, I guess Casa has their own extension, right? A browser extension?
Well, it's an app. Yeah, it's an extension. It's a Chrome extension.
Right. So have you paid like any Lightning microtransactions on like a website or something?
No.
We have on our website, tftc.io, we have something called the Dime Bag, which if you pay 10 cents worth of sats and it gives you a random final thought, one of, you know, Marty's on the bottom of Marty's newsletters, he has the final thoughts just to test out microtransactions. So I don't have a Casa node. So I use it with Jewel, which is, you know, a browser extension that connects to your node. Mm-hmm. And it's just so seamless. It's, you open up the page, it's ready to pay, and Jewel just pops up. Do you want to pay? And you press approve, and it's done, you know, relatively instant. It's just very...
That's at dimebag.io?
No, it's tftc.io/dime-bag, I think.
Okay.
We're like trying to experiment with different... we might come out with a little game on the site. We're trying to experiment with different types of Lightning models. You know, the guy who made our site for us, DJ Seeds, he came out with another site, lncast.com. Are you aware of this?
Yes, but I can't figure out how to get that to work either.
Lncast?
Yeah, that's where the podcasts are on it, right? And you can donate
Yeah, you pay like 10 cents. It goes directly to our wallet, non-custodial.
I was on the old version. And yeah, I've been trying to do it through my Casa node. And I can't figure it out. And so since I couldn't figure it out, I talked to him. He's real nice. I talked to him and on Twitter. I think I even asked you on Twitter. And everybody's like, I don't know what to tell you on the Casa node. And so I was going to have to set up. He recommended I set up something else. I can't remember what that was. And I had something biz maybe. I can't remember. And I haven't set that up. But yeah, I wanted to get that set up. That's on my list to-do list. I'm having problems with that though. I'm having problems getting my Casa node to do a bunch of anything though.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I kind of wish I'd gone with another node, and I may still, because I did it just to experiment. So it's not like I'm worried. I know there's a chance when you're doing something new that it's not going to work out. So I may go ahead and buy another node, try another one, and see if I have any more luck with that.
The nice thing with the Casa is it comes with the base multi-sig package. Have you tried that at all yet?
No, I haven't.
That looks interesting. I haven't tried it yet either. You know, with the Casa, and I've told you this in our back and forths in the DMs, it's frustrating for me because I don't have a Casa in front of me to use.
Right.
Marty has one, but I've only briefly played with it, and it was the older one.
I have a note here I wanted to ask you. We're running out of time, so I'm just going to jump through. And I don't know what this note is about. You must have been talking about it on the show or something. My note is, tell me about CoinJoin.
Oh, Wasabi Wallet. Are you aware of Wasabi Wallet at all?
I've heard of Wasabi Wallet. I'm not, I don't have it. I'm not that knowledgeable about it. I've heard of it though.
I think Wasabi Wallet and Samurai is about to release something called Whirlpool are two of the biggest fundamental developments that we've had since the 2017 all-time high. CoinJoin basically is a method to break the trail of your transactions on the blockchain. So if you send a transaction from one person to another, that transaction is forever there in the blockchain, in the Bitcoin blockchain. And the person you're paying can then make inferences based on your balances, your past payments, all these different things. And that gets amplified when you start buying from like KYC exchanges that have your identity, your full identity. They could then follow your transactions through the Bitcoin blockchain. And even if they're not doing it now, they can follow them in 10 years, 20 years, whenever, because you know all that information is going to be there forever. So CoinJoin basically lets you, in a non-custodial way, without trusting anyone with your Bitcoin, CoinJoin allows you to basically switch your Bitcoin with other people's Bitcoin so that you go into a pool of like 50 people, 100 people. And then when it comes out the other side, there's 100 different possibilities of which coins are yours. And if you keep doing that, it gets really, really difficult, if not impossible, to trace your transactions. And that's super important. The biggest issue with CoinJoin up until this point, CoinJoin isn't new, was user friendliness. And Wasabi Wallet makes it super easy to use. Samurai is about to release something called Whirlpool, which should also make it really easy to use. The other nice thing about Wasabi is you can connect your hardware wallets to it. You can use it as a regular wallet that's more private than something like Electrum or Ledger Live or Trezor. It makes Bitcoin more of a privacy coin, basically.
I think they contacted us about having a table or being involved with BlitBot Boom, but they wanted a speaking slot and all the speaking slots were full. I mean, I can't help it. They just waited a little late. Wasabi.
Samurai or Whirlpool? Wasabi.
Yeah, I don't wait for like the last month to find my speakers. People got to plan and get flights and, you know, stuff like that. And so they said, well, if we can't speak, you know, we don't want to be involved with the conference.
Like, doesn't really sound like them, but either way, I think that Wasabi is most definitely the best wallet on the market. It's the best way to use your hardware wallet.
Well, I'll download it. I haven't downloaded it, so.
There's a direction here where we could end up in a very Orwellian-esque society, and we're already getting closer and closer, where every transaction is tracked, where every person's wealth can be confiscated at will. And I think Wasabi is an important step here. And what's really important about Wasabi is that you're hiding in a crowd. The more people that use it, the better it gets. So we need people to use it, and we need people to use it often.
Honestly, the more people in there, the more mixing that can be done, kind of.
Right. Like you need 100 people to be participating with you. Everyone is helping each other improve their privacy.
You know, I had someone the other day, I was at a lunch and we were talking about something similar to this. It was a kind of a Bitcoin lunch thing in Dallas. And he seemed like he felt like he knew what he was talking about. And he said that a lot of people, he wasn't talking about this wallet in particular, but he said a lot of people are making mistakes mixing these coins with other people because now they get some partial of a Bitcoin that was used by a terrorist and it's on in their chain. Does that make any sense to you?
The two arguments I say is no one knows where your cash bill has been. You know, they say almost all the cash bills have trace amounts of drugs on them.
Right.
The number one money for terrorists and drug dealers and everything else is US dollar cash. And if Bitcoin gets to the point, so if you do a coin joint transaction, you can't necessarily say that coin joint transaction came from, you know, terrorist financing or something, but you can say that it's been through a coin joint process, right? You can see that it's gone through a process where it's been mixed with other funds. If you start trying to block that, like, so you say, first of all, no exchanges have ever blocked a deposit yet. That's a coin joint deposit. No, because my DMs are open. I tell people to tell me if it ever happens and no one said it to me yet. So that's pretty big, I think. But if they started to, then what happens? If we do two hops after a coin joint transaction, do they accept it? Do they say any transaction that has ever been through coin joint isn't allowed? And if they do that, then they're basically banning Bitcoin. Right? Because no one, if I send you Bitcoin, are you going to look through everywhere it's been in the past to try and see if that Bitcoin is okay?
Most people aren't even going to know how.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But if I go through CoinJoin before I send to you, it's almost even better for you because it reduces your liability. You don't even know. You don't know where it's been in the past. And you shouldn't. You really, it's just financial privacy. Like when you pay someone, they shouldn't know everything about you. They shouldn't know when you get paid your paycheck. They shouldn't know how much your salary is. It's just basic financial privacy.
Do you find that people ask you how much Bitcoin you have ever? Not Bitcoin people. You know, I think someone who's into Bitcoin would know just none of their damn business. But, you know, just off the street, you're talking to someone, and they go, well, how much Bitcoin do you own? I go, well, how much money do you have in your bank account?
Yeah, that happens a lot. I think that happens a lot. I never tell them.
Yeah, same thing here. That's my reply is I always go, well, how much money do you have in your bank account? And they go, what do you mean? I go, it's the same thing. Why would, yeah, I'm not asking you how much money you have.
So anyway, my point is I've coin joined all my funds. I continue to coin join. My personal belief is that if governments can effectively enforce any kind of coin joint ban, then Bitcoin has bigger problems. Then we need stronger privacy guarantees at that point. Because if you can't use Bitcoin privately, if you need permission to be private, it's not privacy. You got to do what you got to do. And if governments decide to start banning stuff, then, you know, then we route around them. That's the whole plan here. You know, Bitcoin is Bitcoin. They're not going to just let Bitcoin succeed and step away from it because it's a complete game changer. It takes monetary policy away from governments.
Following, then that's really what Bitcoin was all about, right?
Yeah, it's financial sovereignty.
Yeah.
So, like, of course, they're going to push back on private usage, but you got to push back yourself. That's how I feel about it.
What are your thoughts on the rest of 2019 and 2020?
I don't know. Lightning has beaten all my expectations. Wasabi's usage is growing, which is fantastic. I want to see more. I want to see more exchanges start doing it themselves to add to liquidity pool. We're seeing Bull Bitcoin is doing that in Canada. I really like all these nodes in a box, the hardware, you know, when you talk about the Casa, the Noddle. I think there's, you know, you have the Bitseed, we have the Dojo, which is a Bitseed coming out. I'm cautiously optimistic that the move to Tor will be big on Lightning Network. So I want to see, I've been watching the total capacity on Tor nodes versus ClearNet nodes, because right now, majority of the capacity is on ClearNet nodes. That'll be pretty big. As far as price, who the hell knows? I think it'll go up a lot more.
I wasn't even talking about pricing because I agree. I think most people agree we're just going up. I mean, I think we've bottomed out. But let me ask you a couple of more questions. What is your favorite book?
My favorite book?
Yeah, ask you a couple of personal questions here and people get to know you.
I really like the sovereign individuals really good. It basically just spelled out all this stuff way ahead of time. I recently read this book, The Wind-Up Girl, which is really good. Really enjoyed it. I like a lot of sci-fi stuff, like near-term sci-fi.
I like a lot of sci-fi myself. We watch a lot of sci-fi movies. My wife hates sci-fi. And she'll always go, I can't believe you made me watch that. I'm going, you didn't enjoy this movie? I can't. Yeah, people walking around looking weird and weird monsters walking around talking to people. Hey, what's your favorite quote?
My favorite quote, it was Senator Borah in April 1917. If speech is not independent and untrammeled, if the mind is shackled or made impotent through fear, it makes no difference under what form of government you live. You are a subject and not a citizen.
Wow. It's pretty kind of deep there.
Yeah, I really like that one. I don't know. I feel like people are getting a bit complacent and fear is running wild and people are going at each other while rich people just keep getting richer. And it doesn't matter which side of the political spectrum you're on.
Do you think a lot of this is just a distraction?
Yeah, it's just all a distraction play. Yeah. And people just need to see through the bullshit. You just need to, like, you know, don't trust, verify, make judgment calls yourself. Like, look at all the facts and question everything. Like, absolutely question everything. There's so many people out there that are just feeding you bullshit, and you just have to make your own conclusions.
I believe that part for damn sure. What's your favorite crypto resource? I think you've named quite a few of them during the show.
I love my Bitcoin podcast. I love Stefan Lavera's pod. I love Noted. Coinmetrics is great.
I don't know if I listen to Stefan's podcast.
Oh, Stefan's pod is so good. It's fantastic. You have to listen to it.
Yeah, I'll subscribe.
It's called the Stefan Lavera podcast.
Well, that should be easy enough to remember.
Yeah. I like Coinmetrics. I think the Block Crypto is pretty good. Jameson's Bitcoin page is really good. I think it's bitcoin.page. There's that Bitcoin only resource. I think it's bitcoin-only.com is pretty good. We have a lot of good resources. It's pretty awesome watching this space evolve. Because not only do we have, you know, these startups coming out that are, you can see them carving out their niches and they could be very dominant one day, but we see all these individual Bitcoiners that take it into their own hands to provide resources, to provide guides, to provide support, to do podcasts. It's just awesome to see.
What advice would you give someone who was just getting into crypto, just getting into Bitcoin?
I like the idea of buying a little bit and playing around with it. I think that the best way to learn is to just dive in head first. I would say to them, don't leverage trade on BitMEX and don't fuck around with all the noise that is shitcoins. Focus on Bitcoin for now. The one thing, like, every altcoin promoter won't tell you is that they hold a ton of Bitcoin. So you, even if you don't want to listen to us ignorant maximalists, you can, you know, explore shitcoins in the future, but just first, make sure you properly dive into Bitcoin before you do that.
It seems to me that when I do talk to someone in my age bracket, which I'm in the 60s, that doesn't have Bitcoin or crypto, and they're thinking about it, you know, they heard something about it, they're thinking about getting into it, whether they're going to pull the trigger or not, it's a whole different story. But they'll be asking me, you know, I've been thinking about getting into this. I keep hearing about this Ripple, or I keep hearing about this Dogecoin or something. Yeah. And I'll be going, dude, yeah, have you thought about just getting some Bitcoin? I mean, you know, first. You know, but it's funny how normally when someone comes to me to talk, not comes to me, but in a conversation at some place, and they know a little bit, just enough to be dangerous, they're really having their mind that they should be getting something else instead of Bitcoin.
It's not just your age group. I get it absolutely all the time. The first step is they're skeptical of Bitcoin. Then when they come around, they try and look at every single shitcoin under the sun besides Bitcoin. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I push stacking sats all the time. I think that if you see the potential here, Bitcoin is ridiculously cheap. It's insanely cheap. What's the market cap's like 120 billion or something. It's insanely cheap. And the one goal here should be to accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible. And for a lot of people, depending on where you live, and I was operating under this assumption in the last cycle, and I don't think it's probably going to happen anymore in America, at least. But if this thing starts to catch on, it's going to get harder to buy Bitcoin for a while before it gets easier. You know, countries are going to crack down. I'd be hesitant to wait to start getting exposure, because you never know if you'll be able to get exposure in the future.
Good point. Hey, Matt, where can people follow you? Where's the best place to follow you?
My Twitter is @Matt_Odell. You can subscribe to our podcast at tftc.io or just searching Tales from the Crypt in any podcast app.
Cool. Well, you know, we've gone an hour. We've gone that long. I think this is the longest I've talked to anyone. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I really look forward to seeing you. Gosh, is that next week?
No, I think it's 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. Okay. Yeah. I knew it's coming up soon.
You just freaked me out.
Well, it's not this weekend, but it's the weekend after, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. We're getting in Saturday morning and going up to Napa. And then we're going to go to, the next day, we're going to go to the Sequoia Forest, see the big trees out there. I've always wanted to do that for some reason.
They're massive.
So you've done that?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It took us so long to grow.
It's on my bucket list. So while we're that close, we're going to do that. I've been there before, but I've never been there with time, you know, to go messing around.
Right.
So we're going to do those things, and then it'll be Monday, and then Monday night is the dinner. I don't know what I'm doing Tuesday night. I'm sure there'll be something going on somewhere. But I appreciate you coming on the show. I really do. I've enjoyed our conversation, kind of actually getting to meet you instead of just asking you questions. How do I fix my note?
No, I mean, I appreciate you having me, and I appreciate you extending the invite to BitBlock Boom. I'm extremely excited for that.
Is there anything you might want to tell everyone before we get out of here? I don't want to like cut you off and not mention something you might have wanted to say.
Stay humble and stack sats.
Stacking sats. Very cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show, man.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. A big thank you to all the cousins out there that are showing their support by donating, subscribing, and leaving great reviews on iTunes. All of those things help more than you realize. Now, you can subscribe almost anywhere podcasts are available by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. Call me with your comments or questions at 747-777-9471. Or you can email me at thecryptocousins@gmail.com, and I'll try to use these on future episodes. Please take a peek at the 4-Minute Crypto Show, which is produced every weekday and located at 4MinuteCrypto.com. It's the place to get your daily dose of crypto news, and as always, 4 minutes or less. And one last thing, please take a look at my new website, Crypto Crybaby. This website is for the true crypto fan and sells Bitcoin and crypto gear like t-shirts, caps, and so much more. Take a look at CryptoCrybaby.com today. Thanks again for listening. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Cousins podcast. Please share the show with your friends. They can subscribe by going to CryptoCousins.com/subscribe. And if you want to know more about Gary, just go to GaryLeland.com. Make sure and join Gary and all the Crypto Cousins every week for a new episode of the Crypto Cousins podcast. The Crypto Cousins podcast and the information included in the podcast are not intended as investment advice. Investing in any cryptocurrency is risky, and you should never invest more than you can afford to lose. Always seek professional advice before investing in any cryptocurrency. Please understand, you are using any and all information from the Crypto Cousins at your own risk.